This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Never write like that about me. Never make me no 6-1. Just make me angry. Never make me no underdog. I never talk about who gonna stop me, because it can't nobody stop me. Ain't an injury in the world bad enough to stop me. I couldn't even say it with a straight face.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Let's get more from it. Duck fizz and court summons. Sadly still. Rather than be inspired, these niggas conspired to have me killed. Back in Silver Spring, it was cluck you chicken and Happy Meals. Now my deal half a mil. Got my team in the door, I'm leading score, Bradley Beal.
I could really go for some cluck you chicken right now. Man, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Band Society. And, it's going to be an interesting episode. I want to thank you first and foremost, as usual, for hanging out with me on this most somber of occasions. I don't know, I'm being overly dramatic, but whatever. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly appreciate it. Man. So if you follow me on social media, you may be aware that I had a little, incident. Hurt myself, injured myself. Got a broken wrist right now. And this is not fun. And it's my right wrist. And it's just the worst possible time ever. This is truly crazy. So, I had a vague idea of what I wanted to talk about this week. And then there was the whole idea of maybe like not recording because I'm injured. But nah, I got to keep the streak alive. I got to keep going. So, yeah, man, it's crazy times for me right now. Like, I should be watching football right now. I'm back in fantasy football. I'm on like 3 leagues this year. And, so this should be a big, exciting day for me. I start a new job tomorrow. Crazy new job, crazy dope opportunity for me. Culmination of a lot of semi-hard work. But I need to give myself more credit. It's a lot of hard work. And, all of a sudden, I feel like all of that is up in the air. I don't know how this new job is going to take this injury situation. I already had to push my start date back to kind of give my old employer a little bit more time so we could transition smoothly, leave them in a better spot. And now I'm going to be showing up, half able. I don't know. This is crazy. I almost made it 40 years, almost made it 4 decades without ever breaking a bone. And then yesterday, and just the most preventable, avoidable fashion, I do this. And man, I'm so pissed at myself. I'm so slightly amused by the situation. And I'm also proud of myself in a lot of ways for how I've handled this so far and things that I've done. But it's just, man, it's just whatever. That was our day. He'll always be Phil our day to me. Phil our day. I don't know if y'all familiar with our day or Phil our day. But an artist from the DMV. I think he used to be on, I don't know if he's still on. I can't even think of stuff. Whatever. That's the track from him, Bradley Beal. I saw it come out on Friday and checked it out and was like, yeah, man, in the time right now where, certain people is getting all the limelight. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve it. I think Certified Lover Boy is growing on me a little bit. I may have found one more song, so I think we're up to 5 or 6 out of the 20 some odd tracks on the album that I really fuck with. But I'm glad to see, our day is still doing it at a high level. I enjoyed that song. So if you get a chance, check him out. You know, maybe you even have to do a search for Phil Ade and get some of his old stuff when he was really, not that he's not repping the DMV now, but like, it was different. It was different. Anyway, I digress. All right, so let's go into what happened. So, I am starting a new job on Monday. Thursday of last week was my last day at my old job. I took Friday off, chilled. I could have gotten a haircut on Friday, but I was like, nah, I'm just going to chill. I wanted to be as fresh as possible for day one, you know, at the new spot. Because you normally take, like, ID photos and stuff like that. So, you know, trying to make sure you only get one shot at that ID photo and then you, like, stuck with it for a minute. So, I wanted to make sure that that was going to turn out as dope as possible. So, I waited to get my haircut on Saturday. And it's so crazy, like, just how everything worked out. It's almost like this was fated. And maybe that'll be the overarching theme of this episode. It's like fate. Can you fight it? I don't know. Fuck it though. Anyway, yeah, so like Friday night, I get like a weird text from my barber, which never happens. Like we cool. We have conversations while I'm in the barbershop. We don't make eye contact. Shouts to J Guy Jokes. But we're not like chatting outside the shop type cool. So I get a text from him like Friday night asking me if I could move my appointment. I think I had scheduled it for like 4 and he was trying to get me in at 3. He got to go to San Antonio or whatever. And I'm like, bet, you know, that's not a problem. I can do that. Like I really wasn't doing anything, you know, on Saturday. I like as late a start as possible. So I picked like later in the day appointment to get my haircut. So I get up Saturday and, you know, lazy day, chilling, you know, thinking about putting together this episode, how that's going to work out, enjoying, you know, my kid-free weekend, just, you know, enjoying, you know, my space, spending time on the balcony, you know, having a pretty good day. I started, you know, preparing myself to get ready for my haircut appointment. I noticed that, like, because everything is through an app now, so I even have to schedule haircuts through an app. I noticed on the app that I guess he canceled the appointment that I set, and it said I had no appointment. So, you know, I'm just worried about that. So I reach out to him and I'm like, hey man, you know, we still on for 3. The thing says, you know, I ain't got no appointment or whatever. And it got a little weird, but eventually it got down to like, hey man, I can come whenever. If you need to get out of town, you know, I could be there early. So, you know, just let me know. And he's like, bet, make it here at 2:30. I'm like, absolutely, not a problem. So get myself together, pull the scooter, my little electric scooter. I got one of those like the Lime or the Bird scooters you see, you know, but it's mine. It's mine. I don't rent, I own, that type of shit. That's the only vehicle I have. It's not a flex at all. But I get my scooter out the closet wherever I keep it, and I get ready to make my way out there. I made this trip several times. I make the trip out there, no problems, easy. It's, you know, I'm at the point now where I've gotten a little too cocky. I don't wear a helmet, none of that type of shit. I just, you know, hop on the scooter, you know, go where I gotta go. So I get out there, I get my haircut, you know, we chat and we having a good time, you know, as usual. I leave, dap him up, tip him. It was some weird shit going on in the shop. Like, apparently, he works in one of those, I don't know if all of y'all are familiar with, like, these, I don't know, they seem like barber apartment complexes or whatever. Like, it's just like a huge space with a bunch of offices in each, like, office is a different barber or salon. And so I guess one of the, you know, hairdressers or beauticians or whatever, is that the appropriate word? One of the beauticians in there had her wallet stolen, and she assumed, and there's only like 2 barbers in there and they're both black. And she assumed that, you know, whoever stole her wallet had to be one of their clients. And I think my barber, you know, was taking it as, you know, you making this a racial issue, or you trying to say, you know, because we both black, one of our customers had to have stolen your wallet. And she was like, nah, I'm just saying it had to be a man because the charges on my card are from like AutoZone or whatever. It was some weirdness. And like as I was coming in, as I was leaving, they was like looking over security footage and shit, trying to figure out who stole the wallet. According to him, like there's footage of a white woman like leaving out, looking real suspicious. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep y'all posted if I hear anything else about who stole the wallet at the spot. So I'm leaving there and hop back on my scooter, and I don't know. It seemed weird from the moment I got on the scooter. Like I could go either direction, left or right, to leave the barbershop, and I was trying to like figure it out. And then there was a car coming, and they was like, "Go ahead and go." So I just like made a command decision, like I'm going to go left, and I went. And I'm dipping out. Like I said, I'm confident on it. So I'm full speed. This thing good hits like 18 miles an hour, which don't sound fast until you fall off of it. But, you know, I'm cruising. I'm going full speed. And, like, I see the little – it wasn't a pothole, but it was just like a – I don't know, like a – it wasn't even a sewer grate, but it was something similar to that on the ground. And I see it. And you know, and typically – I'm not one to try to swerve out of the way or anything. And I've gotten accustomed to, like, if there are bumps in the road, if I just relax, you know, I let go of the throttle, maybe, you know, make sure my hand isn't close to the brake, you know, because I don't want to react and then, like, squeeze the brakes and then stop abruptly because that's going to cause a problem. So if I just relax and take the bump, like, it'll be fine. So I didn't try to, you know, move around it. I saw it coming. I didn't try to move around. I just tried to relax. And, wrong decision. Wrong decision. I was still going fast enough that, you know, I hit it, and I don't really know what happened. I don't really know like I lost control that quickly. It's never happened before. Like it's just crazy. The next thing I know, like I'm just ditching the scooter, and you know, I'm trying to fall in the in the safest way possible. And say, you know, human nature, you put your hands out. And it was real quick. Like it was like one, like two steps, you know, falling forward, hands out, hit the ground, kind of, you know, pushed off a little bit with my hands, went to my side and like slid a little bit on my backpack. And like, you know, it seemed like it legit in my mind, like it felt like some shit out of like an action movie. Like I just performed a stunt. Like I hopped off the thing, you know, dove, slid on my side, rolled over, hopped back up. Like I was back on my feet in like 2 seconds. Like it was crazy. But I could immediately tell that my arm was not in a good situation. It was bad. And I've dislocated things before. So I I'm questioning whether this was a dislocation, but I have a pinky on my left hand that I dislocated playing basketball. And nobody was freaking out when I did it. It was really like fucked me up. Like clearly a bone was not where it was supposed to be. Like my finger was in a odd shape, and I'm just like holding it up because I want somebody else to be like, "Oh shit, son, what's wrong with your hand?" And be like, "You man, we should call the ambulance." And like nobody freaked out. So it's like, nah, I can't freak out, but my finger is clearly not in a normal state right now. And so I tried to do some G shit and walk off to the side and like pop it back into place. And I did it in the sense that it still works, but you know, it definitely, it don't look the same. It don't look the same, and it'll never look the same. It could have been broken. I thought it was dislocated, and I just like reset it real funky. And so so looking at my wrist right after the fall, like that's what I feel like it was dislocated. Like it looked like bones were not, you know, nothing was poking out of the skin, but just from the way my wrist looked, it just didn't look like things were in the place that they used to be in. And you know, I thought for a second there about like trying to like tug on it and like pop it back into place or something. I did more than think. I tried. And that was a no-go. I don't have the pain tolerance for that. And so, man, this was broad daylight, middle of the day. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't know if anybody saw me. I know nobody came to ask me if I was okay or to help me out. I picked up my scooter and I got over, you know, to the sidewalk or whatever. and just tried to piece my life back together, figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do. My daughter had gotten me my mom had gotten me a bracelet for Father's Day that said, like, I love you, Daddy, Elise 2021. And that was on my right wrist. And, you know, it was swelling so fast that I normally wear, like, some more, like, bougie, how white is he kind of shit. Like, I wear, like, a white turquoise bracelet that you're supposed to bury or charge in the moonlight overnight. I forget what it's supposed to do for you, but it's supposed to do something for you. And I wear that. And then I wear, you know, my daughter's bracelet on my right wrist. And so I took both of those things off. And, you know, I'm in a considerable amount of pain at this point. So I think I just, like, tossed them to the ground. For whatever reason, I got the white turquoise bracelet back. But I don't think I picked up my daughter's bracelet. And I'm fucked up about that. But, you know, swallowed my pride. Called the ambulance. Because there was no way I wasn't going to be able to scoot back home on one arm. And, it felt like it was bad enough that I didn't need to try to do this on my own. But, they came out and was, shouts to them, because they didn't take my information, so I didn't get charged anything for calling the paramedics. And, you know, they gave me some ibuprofen and some whatever else and an ice pack. And they gave me a ride back to my apartment, but they pretty much was like, you know, it's not a whole lot they could do. They couldn't really determine on the scene, you know, the extent of the injury. They gave me the option of going to the ER, but it's like if you call the paramedics and the paramedics say we could either take you home or take you to the ER, then you feel like it may not be that bad. Because if it was that bad, the option of going home wouldn't be there. Like, I felt taking me to the ER was the option to, I don't know, maybe get me medication and stuff to deal with the pain or make sure, the injury healed faster than it would on my own. But, like, if you give me the option to go, it's like you want to go home or you want to go to jail. That's what it sounded like to me. Like, for some reason, I just don't want to go. I did not want to go to a hospital, especially not now. Hospitals don't seem like the place. You know, that's been a long-held, like, black thing, if you ask me, that hospitals are not the place to get well. Like, you know, all of us got relatives that we thought was good and that went in the hospital and didn't come back out. And now with, you know, all the shit in the air and COVID and everything going on, it's like going to a hospital or ER, for that matter, just like, if you can avoid it, why do it? You know, why go? And I've lost a couple people recently to COVID that you just didn't expect to lose. So I was like, nah, all right, you know, if I get the option to go home, so obviously you're saying, like, it's not life-threatening. I'm, you know, I mean, not that my wrist will ever be life-threatening, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they not acting, again, like, just like the basketball situation, they not acting like, oh, shit, son, look at your wrist. Like, you know, so it's like, all right, I'm just going to go home, walk it off, rub some dirt on it, whatever it is. So I do that. I go home. I'm ice packing it, and, you know, and I'm proud of myself because, like, I immediately went into one-arm mode, and, like, you know, this is my right arm that's fucked up, and, you know, doing shit with one arm, your offhand, it's crazy, it's weird, but I was doing it, getting ice packs, getting food, sitting, eating Doritos, watching YouTube clips with ice on my arm, and I get on the app for Target and I order some more, like, ibuprofen and a wrist stabilizer. Because that's what it felt like. Like, it hurts because it's moving too much. And if I just get something to, like, hold it in place, it'll be, and then I can ice it, the swelling will go down, and then we'll be all right. So I ordered that stuff. I eventually decided to move to the bed because, like, I just figured if I fall asleep, you know, it'll heal while I'm asleep. I don't know. Am I the only person that believes that? Like, you know, you heal while you sleep. And then I'm not conscious and awake to be, like, in pain and stuff like that. So I just wanted to go to sleep. So I get into bed. I get a call from one of my homies. Because I asked him if they had some painkillers. And he happens to be in the medical field. And I told him what happened. And he was like, dog, go to the ER. Right, fuck. So he's like, because if it is broken or even if it is dislocated and it sets on its own, like, you're gonna be fucked up for a while. So, like, all right. So I call an Uber. Here's the stupidest part of the whole thing. It's like, where I hurt myself was about a couple hundred feet from the ER I ended up at. So I was right there. I could have just, I didn't even need the paramedics. I could have just walked my scooter and my, you know, fucked up arm to the ER right then and there. And there's a part of me that believes things would have turned out differently, but that's not what happened. I called the paramedics that ended up taking me home, which is miles away from the ER I ended up at, you know, just hours later. And I get there and nurses, and shouts to nurses and doctors and all them people, because y'all are amazingly cool people and y'all do, you know, a crazy stressful job, especially right now. But they just like, you know, I work in the IT space, and like the hardest part for me a lot of times is, you know, when dealing with people is not making them feel stupid, like with the question that they ask. And they almost know that it's a stupid question, but, you know, you trying to help them out, get them back to wherever they need to be without making them feel bad about the decision that they made. And the nurses and stuff were obviously trying to do that. The number one sign to me that they was trying to tell me, like, fuck is wrong with you, without saying fuck is wrong with you, was as soon as they started asking me when this happened. So I got to the ER probably around like 7:30, close to 8. The moment, you know, she was like, you know, when did the accident happen? And I was like, maybe around 3 o'clock. And, you know, you could just see that, like, put the pause in her and she stopped. And the word they kept using was, oh, you're a trooper. Like, so they were pretty much saying, nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you? That you obviously, I'm looking at your hand. You had to have been in significant pain for the last, you know, 3.5 hours, 4 hours. And you set your ass at home, you know, for what? Like, what was the purpose of just, like, sitting and going through that pain? You're a trooper. Oh, so, well, and it every person that came for some reason had to ask me the same question, almost like they was in the hallway, like, man, go in there and ask him when it happened. You ain't gonna believe this shit. Like, I ask him how long he been sitting with his arm looking like that. Like, it just happened over and over again. And then they had to put me in, like, you know, this, it shit looked like a torture device. Like, it looked like some medieval, you know, like, you would think medicine had made it further than this by this point, but did, like, the thing they used to reset my wrist or set my wrist in place, like, they literally put my fingers in, like, some Chinese finger traps, held it up, and then, like, put weights on the upper part of my arm, like, my bicep, to, like, pull the bones in my wrist apart so they could put them back into place. I wasn't awake for any of this. I was awake for the finger trap section, and then they gave me some shit that put me out. And apparently I was, like, fighting. I remembered, like, feeling like I couldn't get up, and that's a phobia I have. I don't know if I'm claustrophobic, but I definitely don't like to be in a situation where I can't sit up. And I was, like, so out of it that I couldn't sit up. Or maybe they was pushing me back down or whatever, I don't know. But I felt, like, in my dream, I was fighting to sit up. And then, you know, you were only out for a couple minutes, so I don't know how long it takes. By the time I came up, they had the splint and everything back on it. Doctors came in. Unfortunately, they sound like they're not happy with the way that they said it, and I'm going to have to make an appointment with an orthopedic doctor. It is sounding like I'm going to need surgery. Because another one of those words that they kept using was, like, the pieces. Like, you know, like when your arm is broken, like, you want to believe it's two pieces, like it broke in half, like it's this part, the top half and the bottom half, something. But sound like it's multiple pieces, like my arm is really, it's really fucked up. So I'm thinking I might need surgery. This is me, hypochondria, I'm going to the extreme limits. And then, but yeah, they finally let me go. They gave me CDs of, of my x-rays. Who the fuck has a CD? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Honestly, I have a CD drive, but it's in a box someplace. I only got one arm now. I'm not digging through to find it. But who, other than me and my nerddom, still has, like, a CD thing where they could look. Because I kind of want to look at them again. You know, they showed it to me. And when you see, you know, your arm not as one solid piece, it's crazy. It's crazy. This is the first time I ever broke a bone. Never broke a bone. Never been around, you know, somebody in that situation where they had broken a bone. So I'd never seen, like, face-to-face real life x-rays of bones in pieces. And it, like, it was my bone. But, yeah. So now, yeah, I'm going to force myself to get up and go to my first day at this new job. You know, I got this stuff from the doctors to be able to say, like, he needs, you know, they gave me a couple of days rest, really just to give me enough time to get in with an orthopedic doctor to see about, you know, the next steps. But, yeah, like I said, I already pushed back this start date, so I feel like I got to go, and I'll just show up with my arm looking the way it looks, you know, in this sling and everything, and hopefully, you know, they'll have mercy on me. But yeah, man, I'm proud of myself, man. Like I'm engineering this episode with one arm. I don't know what that says about like how easy it is to do this shit. Like, is it more impressive that I'm doing it with one arm, or is it showing that like this don't really take much if you can do it with one arm, your left arm, your offhand at that. But I am proud of myself for doing it. And yeah, I didn't want to let the streak end. I really wanted to talk about, because you know the job that I'm starting is it's crazy. Like so I think I told the story of, you know, everything that happened, the suicide attempt, the shelters and respite homes and stuff that I was in during the homeless stint, the rehab, all that kind of stuff. I don't think I ever talked about like what happened, you know, coming out of rehab and what this 2.5, almost 3 year journey to try to get back to, you know, whoever I was prior to that has been like. But yeah, man, like I got out of rehab in San Antonio, May 7th of 2019. So craziest year ever. In February of that year, I was an information systems engineer for a Whole Foods market. Working with Amazon and stuff, you know, during the transition, it was a great, great time. And, yeah, and then by May of that same year, I was homeless, getting out of a state funded rehab in San Antonio, trying to figure out, where I was going to go that night. Cause they just pretty much, you know, I mean, I had to pay for the Greyhound ticket, but they gave me the ride to the station and just was like, all right, you made it, you graduated, enjoy it. So yeah, I get off the Greyhound. She was my wife at the time, ex-wife now. She was there, she picked me up. She had done the legwork for me because, you know, I couldn't use phones or the internet or anything like that while I was in rehab. And she had found a sober home that I could interview with that night. And so I went straight there, interviewed, got accepted. And then that was where I lived, you know. And I lived in a house with 9 other dudes. Like, the household held 10 guys. I lived in a house with 9 other dudes. There was one other guy in my room. Shared a bedroom with 3 other guys because we shared, not a bedroom, a bathroom, because our bathroom was connected to the bedroom next to us. And there was 2 guys in there. So the 4 of us shared a bathroom, 2 of us in the bedroom. And these are not rooms, I think, you know, big enough for 2 guys. But, you know, I'm sleeping on a twin mattress on a box spring, you know, on the floor, no real frame or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I say some of that to say, like, yeah, I'm a little bougie these days. But, like, you know, sometimes I'm amazed at what I'm able to do. Like what I have the capability to do, what I have the resources to do from, you know, where things were 2.5 years ago, you know. I hit that place, you know, sharing that house with all those guys, and started looking for work. And it was, you know, I got rent to pay, and we paid rent every week in that situation. So I got rent to pay. I wanted a job back in IT and making decent money, what I was used to. But that wasn't a luxury I had. I didn't have the luxury of that kind of time. I needed money right now. So I got a job at McDonald's. The McDonald's, you know, like right up the street from where the house was. And yeah, I worked in the, you know, at back cash in the drive through, taking orders and giving people their change, you know, for a couple months. And man, $9 an hour. And when I look at, you know, what this company just offered me and what I hope I don't show up tomorrow and then be like, yeah, we good. We good. We not waiting no longer for you. If we gotta wait for you to heal up, then it's a wrap. But you know, the $9 I was getting paid, you know, compared to, you know, what I just got offered, it's crazy. In a 2.5, you know, less than 3 year time frame. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, being in this apartment, yeah, man, you know, doing this podcasting thing again, you know, the time I get to spend with my daughter, the stuff I get to do for my daughter. Yeah, a lot of this stuff is just like, yeah, I do it because I can. And like, they, like I couldn't. And I couldn't, man. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, I spent, you know, probably a good month, you know, transitioning into being in that house, spending the last little bit of money I had on just, you know, like clothes and toiletries and sheets for just my little twin mattress and stuff like that. And, you know, I was eating like microwave popcorn and Frosted Flakes for, you know, however long it took to get, you know, a paycheck from McDonald's. And then most of that was going to, you know, daycare for my daughter. And, you know, I still had people and things I had to support. I was still paying, you know, the phone bill for my mother and my ex-wife, and, you know, still trying to live up to responsibilities and things like that. So it was a crazy time, and that was only 2.5 years ago. So, so yeah, man, like fate. I don't know what yesterday was supposed to mean. I don't know what this accident happening at this time and all of that was supposed to mean, what, you know, why it happened. I believe it was absolutely preventable. I got a little cocky, and maybe that just in life I've gotten a little cocky. I need to slow down. Maybe that's what this is for, but we'll see. But I do believe in the process. I believe in the plan. You couldn't have told me when I was back there, you know, rolling Sunday packets, napkins and spoons and packages of nuts for the Sundays, while taking orders, that like things would turn out this well this fast. So it might just be a wake up call, time to slow down, but I don't know. I feel pretty unstoppable right now. Like, there was really, I felt like there was ever a time I had an excuse to not get up and do the work and try to get this show out. It was this week. And it's like, nah, I just can't do it. Like, if I can, I'm doing all this other stuff with one hand. I can do this show with one hand. I can get this done. I don't know how good it's going to be, but I'm going to get it done. And I don't know. Hopefully somebody out there can relate to that. You know, shit happens. Life on life's terms, but just, you know, trust the process. Trust that even if you can't see the plan, that there is a plan. And if you just put the work in, if you just wake up, you know, every morning and put one foot in front of the other and keep going, things can change. And things can change in miraculous ways. And my life has changed in miraculous ways. And regardless of how this situation turns out, I feel like I got options. I can make moves. I'm in a great position. And if the podcast, the needle is moving on the podcast. So shouts to y'all. Appreciate y'all. Maybe I don't go back to work. Psych. Nah, we'll see. I'm definitely going back to work though. This is not making me, this is not going to pay the rent right now. But, yeah, this is it. Like, I just wanted to see if I could do this, and I can. So, yeah, it's nothing you can't do. We all made of the same stuff. We all just need to sometime acknowledge how dope we are, how dope life is, how amazing things can be sometimes, even when they fucked up. I'm not looking at my fantasy squad today, though. I don't, like, I'm like this close from being depressed, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to myself. Self-preservation. But yeah, now I'm trying to get in a good space. Y'all wish me luck tomorrow. I'm going to go out there. I got to figure out. This is gross, but I got to figure out the whole bathing situation, how you bathe with this, because I can't get this thing wet, this splint or whatever wet, and I don't have my main hand. I'm already trying to figure out, like, how do I get my left armpit with my left hand? I think I can do it. I think I got the range of motion to do it. We're going to see. But whatever. Yeah, TMI. Anyways, usual calls to action. Man, my man Zaya Fitness hit me up. He has an actual website. I'm gonna put the website in my social media because right now just things are so scrambled. I can't remember what the name of the website is. But now he has a website, so you don't have to just hit him up on Instagram. But until I post that, if you are looking for him, Zaya Fitness, Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness on Instagram. It'll get you where you need to be in terms of your fitness goals. Maybe if I'd have been doing that, I'd have been running back and forth to the barbershop rather than scootering, and life would be so much different right now. It's the little things, people. Make the next right decision. TTCharities.org, if you're looking for ways to be your brother's keeper, so, you know, to help people like me that end up in these fucked up situations, come back from them. Now, I'm good, but there's somebody out there that probably isn't. But yeah, TTCharities.org. Hit them up. Do what you can. Donate time, money, books, clothes. A like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. So please check them out and help them out. And then, yeah, I believe this will probably be the last week for the summer of the algorithm. That's over. And we'll be moving into hoodie season. I got some new merch coming. But for right now, coupon code algorithm, A-L-G-O-T-H. I believe I'm fucking that all the way up. Y'all know how to spell algorithm. Google it. But if you use coupon code algorithm, it'll get you 20% off your entire order at whatistws.com. Got some dope merch out there. Got some more merch coming. Doing some new things. Got some new ideas. And yeah, you know. So yeah, it sucks that I got to go through this right now. But life is good. And it'll stay good if you want it to be, like, if you look at it the right way. There is always something to be grateful for. Got that on my kitchen wall. With that said, I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. I have no idea what this episode has been. We're going to get back to some more structured episodes and some more guest spots and things, but thank y'all for rocking with me. It's just been a crazy time with changing jobs and everything that I had going on. It's just, man, and this don't help, but it's going to be a learning experience. But with that said, until we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy. I love y'all. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.